So let's open our Bibles tonight if you want to turn to the book of Philippians. I know that we emphasize in this place and we're encouraged to be looking for the Lord's return, and we hope that we will have God's best in what he's offering us, and that we'll be ready when that first trumpet sounds. But, you know, we face a lot of obstacles, don't we? And a lot of times it's how we are ourselves, you know. We look at ourselves and say, there's no way the Lord can take what is here and make something good out of it, especially fit to sit on the throne with Jesus Christ. How can that possibly be with all the failures in my life and the wrong decisions I've made and whatever? But, you know, we're not to look at ourselves. We're to look at what the Lord's wanting to do. And so that's what this Bible study is going to be about, about being ready, but who's going to be doing it, you know, us or the Lord. So in Philippians 2, verse 12, Paul says, "Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling." Now, that at first sounds kind of scary, doesn't it? Work out your own salvation. You know, it's like someone giving you a job to do that you don't know anything about, and they said, here's the tools, go for it, go get it done. Well, we have no, if we know ourselves, we know that that's not possible. But thank the Lord, there's a second verse here, verse 13. "For it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure." And that's the thing. The Lord is going to work in us to do it. We're not capable of ourselves, and we find that out more and more. And there's times in our past we've thought maybe we were capable, and the Lord's had to show us that we weren't. He does that. He'll show us in our lives, and we'll look at someone else and think, boy, that person's so spiritual and so wonderful and so knowledgeable, and then the Lord will allow that person to fall. And then we just are, you know, it shakes us maybe. But the Lord's showing it. It's not in us. We need to have our eyes upon him and trust in him. He's the faithful one. So the thing is, though, we always wonder, are we going to be ready when the Lord comes? And, you know, Paul, he desired to have God's best, to be in that first rank, that first resurrection. And if we look over here in Philippians chapter 3, starting in verse 11, Paul says, "If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead," and that's the out-resurrection, those that get up before others, "not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same things." So Paul here is saying that, you know, he knew he hadn't already attained, and we know we have not already attained God's best. We're still here. And if someone thinks that they're for sure, you know, well, I'm in the bride, and I know that for sure. Well, they're not knowing the scriptures, and they don't know themselves. Paul here even said he hadn't already attained, but he was following after. And I like that, especially in verse 13, he says, "This one thing I do." There's this one really important thing that I'm going to do. I'm going to forget the things behind. And for us, that can be so many things. It can be good things. But if you're looking back on your laurels and say, well, I've walked with the Lord for 50 years, and you know, I've studied the scriptures, and I've been through my trials, so I'm going to retire now and take it easy and just wait and kind of kick back and, you know, take vacation till the Lord comes. That's not going to happen. Because if you're still here living and breathing, the Lord's got more for you. And this life isn't the time that we retire and check out and go take it easy. The Lord is bringing things to us, and we know it's a way of trials. And even, you know, the elderly, when they get older, it's not necessarily a walk in the park. You know, physically, our bodies give way, and things happen. Mentally and physically, things can happen, and we can have our trials. But it's the Lord is working something, and we need to not look back on our failures either. You know, if we look back and we've all have failures and things that we can look back that can hinder us. And of course, our enemy Satan would like to remind us of all those and how bad we were in the past and the mistakes we've made and so forth. And that will just drag you down. And we need to realize those things are behind us, and God's taking care of those things, and He's used those things to bring us to where we are at today. And though they might have been bad things, the Lord has worked them together for our good, and we're still here going on with the Lord, and that's a wonderful thing. So we can't let the things behind, good or bad, hinder us. We need to forget those things and go on, and as Paul said, reaching forth. And so we need to realize Christ is coming soon. If we, I've had someone tell me before that I believe Jesus is going to return, but not in my lifetime. Well, if that's your attitude, you're missing out. If you think that Jesus isn't going to come in your lifetime, you're not going to have that fervency and a desire to be ready. You're just going to be casually going through things. But if we expect the Lord to come tonight, He can come tomorrow, He can come any day. We want to be ready. We want to know Him more. We want to take advantage of what's being offered us now and lay a hold of the things that the Lord's wanting to work in our lives and to grow up and to be more like Him. We don't want to put that off and say, well, yeah, I've got more time. We don't know. We don't know how much time we have, and we need to take advantage of what we have. So Paul says he was pressing on, and he said, if you're gonna be perfect or mature, that you should be thus minded. And if you don't understand a lot of things, in which sometimes we don't, God will reveal these things to us. We can look to Him. He has given us everything. He gave us the best when He gave us His Son. He wants us to know Him. He wants us to go on and have His best. He's provided that for us. That's what glorifies Him the most, when we receive what He has for us. And if there's something we're lacking in understanding, we can seek the Lord. He'll reveal it to us through the Holy Spirit, through the Scriptures. And so don't be afraid. If there's something you don't understand, say, Lord, I don't understand what's going on here. Can you show me what's going on? And and a lot of times it takes time. He'll say, you know, you need patience. You need to wait. I'm working something out. As He told Peter when he washed his feet, remember, He said, you don't know what I'm doing right now, but you'll know hereafter. And so there's a time when He'll reveal it to you, but He will. So seek Him. And don't just say, well, I don't understand, so I'm giving up. You just seek the Lord. He's faithful to show us. So, but Paul does say, though, that what we've already attained to continue on in those things. So what we know for sure that we've learned in the Scriptures through the Word of God, through the Holy Spirit revealing it to us, let's continue in those things and treasure them. Don't forsake them. Don't put them aside saying, well, I've learned that. I'm going to move on to the next thing. We've got to, and that's part of what this Bible study isn't necessarily anything new. It's just a reminder of the things we've heard over and over throughout the years. And so it's a good thing to remember and to be encouraged and stirred up to continue on with what we've learned. So let's turn over to in 1 Timothy 1:12, thinking of the Apostle Paul, he didn't boast that he was this faithful one. In 1 Timothy 1:12, he says, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that He counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. And that's the thing. We don't go boasting that I've got great faith and you can't believe God for that. You know, you're pretty weak. You don't want to be that way. Anything, like he says, the Lord counted me faithful. And for any of us, if we realize who we are, we know that it's not our faithfulness that got us where we are. It's the Lord's faithfulness. And by His grace, if He counts us faithful to give us the faith for something, thank Him for it and give Him the glory for it, not any glory to yourself for being so faithful. And it's a good thing to be faithful, though. You know, and Paul commended others for being faithful. At the end of his life, he said, I kept the faith. These are good things. But again, it's always the Lord. In fact, in the next verse here, 1 Corinthians 15:10, we can all say this if we're honest. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. And that's the thing. It's by God's grace that we are what we are. And the Lord, again, sometimes he'll have to sort of let you fall so that you realize that you're nothing in yourself. And it's him that's going to do it. And it's his grace that's going to take you on. You might want to quit. And all of us have been there where this is too hard. I can't do this anymore. I'm gonna withdraw and take it easy. I'm gonna go a different way. I'm go back to my old ways where it was a lot of fun, but it wasn't. but you know, it's God's grace that takes us on. He's the one that's faithful to. If we fall, his arms are right there to carry us. He'll take us on. But he does say, Paul says here, his grace that was bestowed upon me was not in vain. You know, you can make the grace of God vain in your life. You can not accept what he has for you. You can try to please the Lord through your works, or you can think that you're better than someone, and you can and be lifted up in pride through your self-efforts. But that's making the grace of God vain. You're not realizing that everything that you have is because of the grace of God. And when you start to realize that you've merited something in yourself, that's not glorifying to God. You're missing what he's wanting to show. Anything is, we've heard from our pastor so much lately that the only thing God's going to glorify is his son. And the only thing in us that he's going to glorify is the life of Christ in us. That's what the Father sees and recognizes and accepts. Anything of our self-effort is filthy rags. And the sooner we learn that, the better. So don't make the grace of God vain in your life. Just accept it and seek it and thank the Lord for it. And it's abundant and it's there for all of us, but we can make it vain if we don't accept it. So again, it's not going to be our own efforts that gets it done. It's going to be God that does the work. And I'm going to just look at a couple verses about this. 1 Thessalonians 5. Verses 23 and 24. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. So if you thought that you had to be the one that presented your whole spirit and soul and body blameless to God, that's impossible for us to do. And but faithful is he that calls you, he will do it. And that's the thing. We have to recognize it's beyond our abilities. It's beyond even to do one part of it, whether it was just your spirit or just your soul or just your body. None of those we can present blameless. But he can, because there's a new life in us. And that new life is blameless, and it's the life of Christ. So he's the one that will do it. And then we don't need to turn to it, but in Psalm 138, David said, the Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. He knew that. And David was a man after God's own heart, and he loved the Lord, and he was such an inspiration, still is, to our lives today, and the Psalms that he wrote and so forth. But he had failures, and he knew it wasn't himself that was going to make himself perfect. He said, the Lord's going to perfect that which concerns me. And he says, O Lord, thy mercy, O Lord, endures forever. Forsake not the work of thine own hands. It's God's work, and we're his workmanship. We read that in Ephesians, that we are his workmanship. And so he's the one that's doing the work. Just like we hear about the clay. The clay doesn't jump up on the wheel and start wiggling around and form itself into some beautiful vessel and say, here I am. It has to be the touch of the master's hands that forms it, and with the oil and the water, and makes it into a beautiful vessel. So God's doing it. And then David also said in Psalm 103:14, he knoweth our frame, he remembers that we are dust. what's dust going to do? You know, the Lord, as he created Adam, he got the dust and formed Adam and breathed into it the breath of life. And Adam became a living soul. We're just dust. And the Lord, he knows what he made us out of. He knows man. He knows that we're weak and frail. And that's what glorifies him, that he can take that dust, that frail life that has a old sinful nature and is weak, and he can take that life and glorify himself by bringing that life up to be worthy to be set all the way into the throne with his son. And that is glory to God for that. There's nothing that we can do to do that. And it has to be all him, and that's how he is glorified. He didn't take the something that had a lot of ability and then just kind of brush it up and fix it up a little bit. He took the something that was totally needy. And like we're compared to those sheep, you know, the sheep are pretty, they're very needy. They can't survive on their own. They get in all kinds of trouble. And so we're the same way. We need the Lord. And so it's not going to be us holding out and hanging on and enduring to the end like you hear some legal meetings will teach that, you know. You've got to hang on, you know. Okay, now you're saved, so hang on so you don't lose your salvation. Hold out. Be faithful. It's not that. It's him that does it. And in 2 Timothy 2:13 says, if we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. And so that life of Christ is what's in us when we're born again. And even if we are not faithful, and a lot of times we're not, but he abides faithful because there's that life of Christ that he will not deny. So he will not deny himself. And then Philippians 1:6. Is a good one here. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. He's begun the work. We didn't start out on our own. The Lord had to draw us to himself and give us the gospel and show us the way of salvation. And all we had to do is believe. But then it's his work, and he began it, and he's going to be the one to finish it. We just need to let him do it. So and all the way up until the day of Jesus Christ, he'll be working on us, as it says there. He'll perform it. Now let's turn over to Hebrews 13 in verse 20. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. So you see who's doing it here. He'll make you perfect because he's working in you to do his will. We want to know the Lord's will and we want to do his will, but we're, again, not capable in ourselves. Paul said there in Romans how the good that I would, I don't do it. And the evil that I don't want to do, that's what I end up doing. And it's because we have that old nature. But as the Lord grows up in us and his life is more in control of our vessels and that old man is mortified, then more of the life of Christ comes forth and we can do the will of God. But it's his enabling. He works in us, as it says, and he can make us perfect, working in us what's well-pleasing in his sight. And again, if we're going to please the Father, it has to be through the life of his son. It can't be any things we did. You know, think about, again, Cain and Abel. Cain brought what he thought was the best, and God says, no, I refuse that. But Abel brought the lamb, which is a type of Christ, and he was accepted. So it has to be what the Lord is doing in our lives. And then Hebrews 12:2. Go back a page here. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Again, he began the good work. He's going to complete it. He's the author and he's the finisher. He didn't just start us out and get us going and say, okay, there you go. See how good a job you can get it done with. It's not like that at all. He's began it and he's faithful to finish it. He's the author. He is the one that's going to get the glory for it. He's not going to, It's not going to be something that we can finish up our life and get to heaven and say, well, God got me a good start on it, but then I took it and ran with it, and here's what I did, and I did this. It's not going to be that way at all. It's going to be, Lord, you did it all. Glory to God. All that was ever good in my life, Jesus did it, accomplished it. Nothing on my part. And that's glorifying to God. And that's, again, why we are in such bodies of humiliation and whatever, because we're so needy and we need him. And when he comes in and shows his strength, he's glorified. Then 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Verses 8 and 9. Who shall also confirm you unto the end, that ye may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom you were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. So he'll confirm us, he'll establish us to the end. And again, it says blameless in the day of our Lord. But by our faithfulness, no. God is faithful to do it. So God's going to do it. That's been, hopefully you see that proven right here. But, you know, we have to be willing to follow him where he leads us and do the things he says. And if we don't, we're going to miss it. And I thought of an example with Jeroboam. You know, Solomon was king, but Solomon in his older age, he forsook the Lord and he worshipped idols. And so God said, well, I'm going to rend the kingdom from Solomon. And he told Jeroboam, he said, I'll give you 10 tribes. And in 1 Kings, this is in 1 Kings 11, but he's told Jeroboam that it shall be if you will hearken unto all that I command thee, and will walk in my ways, and do what is right in my sight, to keep my statutes and my commandments, as David my servant did, then I will be with thee, and build thee a sure house, as I built for David, and I will give Israel unto thee. That's a pretty big promise to give to someone, this man here. Like, I'm going to build you a house like I built David. David was the greatest king Israel had. And but then again, you look at David and say, well, David wasn't perfect. No, he wasn't. And the scriptures, God had that recorded for our benefit, that they would know that David wasn't a perfect man. But the thing was, when David failed, he sought the Lord. And it might not have been right away. He might have had to get stirred by the prophet Nathan to say, you know, David, you're the man, to get him woken up. But he would seek the Lord. Lord, restore me to what I had before, the joy that I had before with you. And Lord, I need you. And you see that in the Psalms. He cried out to the Lord all the time. He knew he needed the Lord. He wasn't a perfect man. He needed the Lord for everything. So, but Jeroboam, he didn't listen to the Lord. He went on and ended up making these golden calves and had Israel to sin to go worship before them. And so he didn't do what the Lord said, and so therefore the Lord didn't bless him the way he said he would have. He said, if you would hearken to it, and then listen to this, apply this to your own life. Hearken to what I command you. Walk in my ways. Do what's right in my sight. Keep my statutes or my word, my commandments, as David did, and then I'll do this for you. I'll bless you. And that's the same thing with us. The Lord's, he gives us the things that we need to do, and he tells us what we need to do. And if we will go that way, the Lord will bless us. He'll keep his word and be faithful to us. But if we refuse and say, like Jeroboam, like, no, I think I'm going to do it my way, and I'm going to go this route, and it's going to be a failure. You're not going to have the best that God wants you to have. So we have to do what the Lord says. And in order to do that, we have to know the word of God. And so that's part of why we come to Bible study. Well, maybe that's all why we come to Bible study, to learn the word. But we have to know the word. There's to know what the Lord wants. You can't just dream that up and say, well, I think God wants me to do this, or somebody told me that this is what I should do, or this feels right, or I read this book this guy wrote, and it says I should do this. We have to know the word of God. And let's look at 2 Timothy 3 about this. Paul writing to Timothy, 2 Timothy 3, verse 14. He tells him, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So, as he's telling Timothy, and as we need to take to ourselves, we need to know the Word of God. And as he told Timothy, continue in the things you've already learned and you've been assured of, but go on. The scriptures are there for you. They're all profitable. And you don't just take, well, you know, I'm just going to study the New Testament, not the Old Testament, or whatever kind of thought like that. You need all the scriptures. But especially, we know we need the Apostle Paul's gospel to really... That's what is most applicable to our lives at this time, and it's really what sheds light on all the Old Testament scriptures, too. But we need the scriptures. We need to know what God wants us to do. And David wrote in Psalm 36 that, in thy light shall we see light. And what the Lord will do, he'll lighten a scripture to us through the Holy Spirit and reveal something to us. And if we'll take that, and say, I believe that, Lord, and then he'll show us more light and show us more, and he'll just, the Lord always has more for us. But if you come to a point where, like, say you, okay, Lord, I believe you're for salvation, then you're saved, and I believe in being filled with the Holy Spirit, and you're filled, and then you hear the teaching of, well, there's ranks in a resurrection, you say, no, that doesn't make sense to me. I don't believe that. God, that would make God a respecter of persons, and whatever your reasoning might be, you're going to miss out on what God would have for you. If you don't accept the truth shown to you in the scriptures, the light's not going to keep coming. You've stalled out there. And again, if you come across something like, for an example, ranks in a resurrection, and you don't see it, again, as we read earlier, God will reveal even this to you. If you seek him and say, Lord, they've shown me this, but I've been taught a different way my whole life. What's the truth? And remember how Brother Hill used to say that, how he always was taught that you could lose your salvation. And he came to a point where he just said, Lord, I don't know. My those that love me the best have taught me this. But you know, I see your word. I want to know what your word says, what you want, what's real. And the Lord will show that to you. So don't go by what you might reason in your mind. Don't go by what someone else says necessarily. Go by the scriptures and seek the Lord and seek the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit to really open our eyes to see what the truth is. And you'll come across times in your life where something will not be so clear to you, and you need some encouragement from the Lord which way you should be believing on that. And he will enlighten the way. So thank the Lord. So it's because of his light. He sends the light on it for us. And the Lord has also given us gifts so that we might know the word of God and his will. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 4. Starting in verse 7. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Isn't that wonderful? We're all given grace, but you would say, well, how much grace? Well, according to the measure of the gift of Christ, it's unlimited. There's abundant grace. There's more than we are ever going to need. Verse 8, wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Drop down to verse 11. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So God's given gifts to the body, to the church. He's given us prophets, pastors, teachers. And these are gifts of God to help us to understand the word and to bring it forth to us. And that's why we gather here, for a sermon or for a Bible study. The Lord will enable the vessel to bring forth something that will be profitable to everyone there. But if you say, well, I don't like how that person talks, you're like saying, Lord, I don't really like that gift you bought me. Like, we just had Christmas. You ever see kids like, I don't like that gift. You bought me clothes. I wanted toys. You know, but the parent knows what's best for the child, what they need. And God, our Father, knows what we need. And the vessel, we know the Lord raises up whom he will. And if he puts a vessel in there to bring forth the word, don't say, Lord, I don't like your gift. There's going to be something in the message that person brings that'll be profitable to you. And yeah, we can have favorites of people that we like to listen to more than others. That's fine. But just know that if the Lord's got someone in that position and you will listen, there's going to be a blessing to you. You'll get something from it. It might not be some huge, wonderful thing, but you know what? Anything little thing we get is forever. So it can be just a little thing, but it's forever. And it's a wonderful thing. So the Lord raises up whom he will. He gives us pastors and teachers, and pray for them. Pray for those that the Lord puts in the ministry like that. And pray for yourself if you're having a tough time with that. But you don't want to tell the Lord you don't like the gifts he's giving you. So, that's one way to look at it anyway. But praise the Lord. I'm so thankful for those ministers that have ministered to my life through the many years and the wonderful things I've learned about the Lord through those vessels. Praise the Lord for that. And then another thing that's important is to assemble. Hebrews 10:25 is a familiar verse. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. We need to gather with the saints, those of like precious faith, and especially as it says here, as you see that day approaching. We can see through the signs of the times, and then even as I mentioned earlier about all the trials that we're going through in our meeting and in individuals' lives, we're being pressed. The Lord's coming is near, and he's getting us ready. So we need to gather. We need to assemble ourselves and be encouraged, as it says, exhorting one another. Well, you know, we're out in that world, and we get hit with all these different influences, ungodly things and just worldly things that get you all distracted, and we get busy, and all these things that seem to be so important. It's so good to get back here in the house of God and realize what really is important. And it's important to do that, to get in here and say, you know, turn your eyes upon Jesus, and the things of the world fade away. And so let's not forsake the assembling ourselves together. And I'm thankful pretty much people that come to Wednesday night Bible study aren't like that, but it's still encouragement to hear that, isn't it? And so, you know, the scriptures have many encouraging things to say to us. And, you know, I couldn't take the time to list them all. It would take forever. But, you know, things like to love one another and to pray and to forgive, walk in the Spirit, you know, things like that. There's just so many things that were encouraged through the scriptures. And this takes, you know, a lifetime of growing in the Lord to take these things in. And as the Bible says, here a little, there a little. It doesn't come all at once. But there's one thing God makes clear, that if we're going to have his best, that it's going to be a way of suffering. And so he doesn't hide that. He doesn't spring that on us and say, well, you thought it was going to be a cakewalk, and bam, you know. He tells you right up front that there's going to be sufferings, and it says it's all over there. But these are things that the Lord uses. And in 1 Peter 5, verse 10, but the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. And you can see, so some of that suffering, there's the effect of it right there. It makes you mature. It makes you complete. You'll be established, strengthened, and settled. If you never had a trial, it's hard to imagine that, isn't it? If you never had a trial, you would not be established. You wouldn't be settled. You could be so flimsy, something could come along and knock you over. But if you've gone through something that's been really difficult and the Lord's proven himself to you, that makes you have such a firm foundation that if something comes along, you can stand. Because if he's proven himself faithful, he's established you through that one trial, that's going to make you strong for the next thing that comes your way. And if you know Christians that aren't really very mature in the Lord, when things hit them, they fall apart because they don't have that foundation. They don't know what's going on. And if you're not taught that sufferings are a part of God's purpose and plan for your life, and something happens to you, you get an illness or whatever, a trial comes your way, you can feel self-condemnation. You can feel, what have I done wrong to have this happen to me? And it can just defeat you. But when you realize that God is using these things, it's his purpose to bring these sufferings to us, that we might realize how weak we are and reach out for his strength, and he can show himself strong and be glorified in it, then it's a whole different thing. So that's something the Lord wants us to know, that there's a purpose in it. But when these things happen, we don't want to draw back. We want to go on because it's going to be worth it all. Scott mentioned in his class the other night about, what did you say, 100,000 years down the road, Scott? That we look back at our vapor life that went by in a second and say, Lord, what you accomplished in that moment of time, it was so worth it all. And really, the Bible says our life is just a vapor. And it seems like it takes a long time to get through something. But you talk to someone that's elderly and they'll tell you how fast it goes by. And again, the Lord is taking this short lifetime, however many years it is, and getting us ready for eternity. And that's a feat that no one could do but God. Praise the Lord. So Hebrews 10, verse 35. Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come, and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe unto the saving of the soul. So you don't want to cast away what the Lord's taken us this far. Don't give up now. Go on. And you need patience. Now, we know tribulation worketh patience. So, you know, you're told, don't pray for patience. But really, we do need patience. And the Lord knows we need it. And maybe even if we don't pray for it, he's going to bring it to us, don't you think? Because he knows what we need. But don't you just love this, that yet a little while, and he that shall come will come, and will not tarry. And that's what we long for and look for, that in just a little while, the Lord's going to come. And we want to continue on. We don't want to give up now. And we don't want to draw back. And if you realize who the Lord is, and that's part of knowing the Word of God and being encouraged in the Scriptures and so forth, and how wonderful he is, you don't want to draw back. You just fall deeper in love with him. You want to know more. You want to go on, and you know there's going to be pain, there's going to be some suffering, but it's so worth it all. As we started out, Paul saying, if by any means he might attain, and that's how we should be. And then in James chapter 1, I'm getting winding it down here. Verses 2 through 4. And I mentioned this earlier. My brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. And so it takes patience. And again, I mentioned if we seek the Lord for something we don't understand, it might take a little bit of time for him to show us something. But also if we're in a trial, and it could be like a physical thing that you're in and it's going on for a long time, the Lord's working patience in your life. And we might think, Lord, it's been long enough. Right, Lynn? We might think that, but he knows. And praise the Lord, and he gives us the grace to bear it. So count it joy when you fall into these temptations. But I like how he says, perfect and entire, wanting nothing. And that made me think of King Belshazzar in the book of Daniel. You remember he made this great feast, and he brought out all the vessels from the house of the Lord, and they drank wine in these vessels of gold and silver, and they praised the gods of gold and silver. And the handwriting came up on the wall, and he went and had to get Daniel to interpret it. And Daniel said to him, you know, Belshazzar, your father, Nebuchadnezzar, King Nebuchadnezzar, was this great king that God gave glory and majesty and honor to. And he got proud and lifted up, and the Lord had to take that away from him, and he was a beast in the field for 7 years until he realized that the Most High ruled in the kingdom of men, gave it to whomever he wanted to. And then when he realized that, then it was restored to him. And he told Belshazzar, he says, you knew all this. You knew this. And yet you've lifted yourself up in pride, and you've drank wine in these vessels, and you've praised these idols, and you haven't even regarded the God who created you. And he interpreted that writing, and the first part of it says, thou art weighed in the balances and are found wanting. And we don't want to be that way. As James says, wanting nothing. And basically what I'm trying to get the point at is that Belshazzar knew these things. And we know the things that we know. The Lord's revealed to us. Let's don't put them aside and go on against those things. Let's take heed to the things we've learned. And then we will be like James says here, perfect and entire, wanting nothing. So, you know, if it's up to us, there would be no hope if it was just up to us ourselves. But God delights to show us his mercy and grace. And in Lamentations 3:21 says, this I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. And isn't that a wonderful thing? Now, Jeremiah there in Lamentations, things were looking really grim there. Israel was being taken captive, and he was in prison, and all the things that went on there. But he said he had hope because the Lord's mercies, they're new every morning, and his compassions, and great is his faithfulness. So we can have hope that way, not hope in ourselves that we can hold out, but in the Lord's mercy and faithfulness. And then in Romans 5:2, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. So by faith and by grace, we can rejoice in hope of the glory of God. It's his grace that he shows to us. And that's the thing. It's, we don't deserve it. We don't merit it. It's his grace. And so therefore we can rejoice. We don't have to realize, or we can realize that we're nothing in ourselves, but we can still have hope and rejoice because he's everything. And Romans 15:13. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Now, we need the Holy Ghost. That's what I want to emphasize on this verse here. Jesus said that you'll have power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And we need that power. We every day are in a battle, one way or another. And we need more power than what is humanly available. We need supernatural power. We need spiritual Holy Ghost power. And we need him to take the things of Christ and show them unto us. If we're going to go on, as I mentioned, if you know Jesus, you'll love him and want to know him more. Well, the only way you're going to really know him is through the scriptures, but through the Holy Spirit enlightening those things to your understanding. He'll reveal what the scriptures really mean to us and who Jesus really is. So he'll give us that hope and joy and peace and believing, and we can abound in that. So we need to be full of the Spirit. So bottom line is, it's not me, it's Christ in me. And that's Colossians 1:27, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. So it's, I don't have hope of being glorified because of me, it's because of Christ in me. And so Christ in me, is there any lack in that life? Does Christ have any trouble doing the will of God? Is there any thing lacking in that life at all. No, it's all there. That life that's in every one of us. It just needs to grow up, and we need to just let that life live out. And so everything's there for us. Everything's right there inside of us once we've taken Jesus as our Savior. And we just let that grow up, and we can have hope, again, that that's the glory we'll have is in Jesus Christ. And so I'll close with this one verse in Joshua. When Joshua was getting ready to depart this life, in Joshua 23, he says, "Behold, this day I am going the way of all the earth. And you know in all your hearts and in all your souls that not one thing hath failed of all the good things which the Lord your God spake concerning you. All are come to pass unto you, and not one thing hath failed thereof." You know, if we trust the Lord and look to him, there's not going to be one thing fail. God never fails. And we need to realize that we do, but not to stay in that failure. Put it behind us, get up and go on, and say, "Lord, I've failed, but that's not me. Christ in me doesn't fail. I want to go on and be like you and grow up into you, be pleasing to you, and then we can, it'll be glorifying to him. We'll say, Lord, nothing failed of everything that you told me because you did it." So I hope this has been an encouragement to you. As we go into this new year, may the Lord encourage us, take us on, realizing, yeah, we have failures in our lives, but that's not what is going to get it done or not done. It's going to be God's faithfulness. Let's just let him do it. So let's stand and be dismissed.